Good Friday afternoon and welcome to the Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM.
Good Friday, payday to you, dear listeners.
Oh yeah, payday for some.
For some, not us, not me and Helmut.
Relax, next week Wednesday we're the ones that are going to be flexing. You know, just at least for one day, and then come Thursday we're like, eish, what happened?
We hate our banks.
I know, right?
We start with propaganda like that.
Hashtag downfall
with the bank.
These banks, if you know, the charges is complaining about is $1.50.
No.
Forgetting that he spent $1,000 on entrance at the club.
It's not just that. It's you buying sneakers you did not need.
Yeah.
Or buying, going on that expensive date because baby girl told you, you know what, baby, let's go and eat at the most expensive. Let's go choose. You know when you tell someone choose from the menu. At Spur, and they go and take the platter for five, but they're just one person.
Yeah, like
it's just the two of you.
Are you eating for everyone, including, you know, those ones that are starving in some war-torn country? Whoa, what's going on here?
But you had to bring in the war.
The things that we do, right? Look, financial discipline is really that, a discipline. Yeah, but we are...
If there's any discipline.
There's no such thing, believe me.
No. Have you ever felt that when you, how you feel like a... I don't want to say drug addict, but you feel like an addict, when you have money in your bank account.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt how the sensation not to touch your wallet?
Yep.
Or even your phone. Okay, I don't pay to sell things, transfer with myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact reason why I don't have that extension on my phone.
It's because
you don't want to be just PayPal-sing everywhere.
PayPal-sing everyone.
Yeah, because I'm Standard Bank, so.
Yeah. Just gonna make sure to hide my bank statements from you.
No, my brother told me what. Okay, I learned from probably the McScrooge of our family.
Mm-hmm.
He's my youngest brother, but that guy tells me, Dwight, I will go for the cheapest of the cheap. I don't care if I have to buy the same thing again 2 months
over and
now.
Over and over again.
I'll go for the cheapest thing so that he knows he stops his impulse. Impulse of spending.
Yeah.
He curbs on his impulse of spending and he only buys when he's sure about it. It's the same thing I've been practicing now for 6 months, but sometimes, there's nothing you can do about emergency. those emergency rings.
Impulsive spending is the reason why I leave my house with the money that I need. Transport, going, coming, plus $20 for emergency. That $20 for emergency ends up going like, Helene, can you borrow me $100? I'll bring it back tomorrow.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten advice from a married man in a shop, in a retail store, Helmut?
No. What did he say to you?
On sticking to the budget.
No.
He didn't even say stick to the budget. He said that's why it's important that you stick to the shopping list. Now, my mom taught us something, but that was from memory. You write down the grocery list of what you need. So you go look in, what you need. So you write it down, you take that list with you, and you go just stick to that list. You don't buy 10 packets of Doritos and a case of Coca-Cola on the side. No.
Yes, substitute Doritos for, for biltongs for me.
But anyway, you stick to that shopping list.
And the price of those things keeps going up.
It's actually a good thing you mentioned that, because obviously you just need to put that in a container. And then it lasts you the month.
Yeah.
But you and I know it doesn't last a month because
it doesn't.
Because it lasts only until Monday.
I tried watching a movie with one. No.
With one piece of bulldog.
With one box, one packet, they're small ones and they're bigger ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to buy, mix them up, five smaller ones.
You're talking about the clothes for,
Yeah. So, I'm just gonna, open this box and watch a movie that thing finished way too fast.
But have you ever seen how addictive it is to eat droevos and bultong? And you know what's the best thing? Bruh, you don't gain any weight from that meat.
No, you don't. Wait.
It's the healthiest. Remember what I told you too, back in last week. Drovos and biltong, any dried meat, which is known as venison,
mm-hmm.
is historically the healthiest meat you can
eat. To be fair, that's like the oldest form of preservation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been using that for a very long time before we started, having the, the whole weight problem now that's causing a lot of chaos around the world. One guy said something I found very interesting that, he's American. So he was talking on the obesity, epidemic going on in the U.S. One thing he says was that has it surprised anyone of you guys is that, Japan and South Korea are as developed as we are, but they are not as overweight as we are.
Yep.
It's a good question.
We eat meat.
I never looked at that. I'm like, okay, hang on a second. Then it's, I think, it became a discussion of overuse, like really fast.
Mm.
Because fast foods are, maybe it's to some degree fast food, but also to some degree, the rate, at which we consume them.
Yeah.
If you turn it into a lifestyle of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, of course, there are bound to be consequences.
Not really. It's just, you're technically cutting out starch. I know we
starch.
Oh no, but it's, this is actually good. This is where symbolism comes in. Our symbolism comes in. It's a good thing we started on this meat discussion. I know some of you might be good.
I don't know about Dwight, but I was here the whole day, so believe me, I'm hungry. Which is what I'm talking about.
So here's the thing now, Helmut.
Yeah.
You can literally eat like a whole, thigh of beef or whole rib of beef, if you just cut out starch. But the starch that
you still be fine.
The starch you can use is probably a potato, or there's another particular sort of like vegetable.
Like a natural one?
Yeah. Because the problem, obviously, in today, in terms of some of the particular chronic diseases, which is things like diabetes, high blood pressure.
Throwing heart attack in there. And they're closely linked.
That too. And obviously, some of the other particular debilitating things like the clogging of your arteries. There's nothing you can do. If you can drink all the wine you want, but you obviously would be sacrificing your kidneys and your liver just to keep your arteries
you're not helping.
You're not helping. Yeah. That's why
on the kidney part.
That's why they're also advising people rather, probably try and take like a Disprin now and then. You just put it on your tongue and you just, basically, and that ultimately helps with sort of like also opening up or unclogging, but fat builds up in the lining of your artery. So the more fat that builds up, the tighter the artery becomes.
It becomes
more
of a choke point.
Yeah, and you stand a higher risk of obviously suffering stroke or heart attacks, which could be some of the two, but strokes have been identified. This explained to me at one time being slightly different from a heart attack, because a stroke can happen somewhere else.
Like a stroke in your head, heart attack in the heart. Yeah. Like literally heart attack.
Because the heart is a muscle. So it's, imagine it as one severe muscle spasm or muscle, a muscle cramp. That's why it's always painful, heart attacks. If people that have observed it or have ever had it, if you ask them or you read up on it, what is the first thing that people experience about a heart attack, those that have survived, it's very painful. Now, getting back from that, this is obviously the talk that our president had yesterday, State of the Nation. We're bringing you back, guys, away from the hunger-inducing, salivating talk specifically about biltong and braaivleis. I'm sorry on my part. Helmut is not.
Chances are very high we intruded on someone's budget. They were just driving at home, listening, trying to stick to the budget, and someone said biltong. Like, service station.
Now I've got to go eat it. Or, ultimately, what I just now did to you, that you told me, Dwight, I'm still hungry. So, yeah, I'm sorry for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be beaten up at the gate. Please. So, State of the Nation took place. Yesterday, obviously, Helmut and I, we didn't have the chance, dear listeners, to sort of like dissect some of the talking points for you, because these have been talking points that we've spoken about.
Yeah.
We have to factor in, Helmut, two starting points, which is obviously the one that we've noted on our social media yesterday as the president announced it. That's obviously from 2026, higher education at state-owned facilities, not at all higher education facilities, state-owned facilities would be free. Now, the second part of that sentence that the president mentioned is literally a sentence that speaks towards the affordability for the children of people whose children will be studying, for the parents whose children are at the state-owned facilities to have more money in the pocket in terms of affordability, being able to pay for rent, being able to pay for transport, and still have money to survive. But you and I know what sometimes a 19 to a 25-year-old gets up to, because budget.
Call it like a cascading effect. Not really cascading effects, like some of the negative ripple effects coming out of it. Because, okay, this is what I'm looking at it, because, well, I spent my whole morning making fun of everything in this thing.
Yeah.
But, one thing I came to realize was that, the bright side to this whole, free tertiary education for all the public institutions, be it, the ones that specialize more like offer more academia oriented type of curriculum,
yeah,
and those that offer, technical oriented type of curriculum. Now, one thing that you see there is that this is a good thing, because you have no idea how many parents and how many students or prospective students out there that are, you know, that were relieved to hear that, and knowing that, okay, you know, next year all I just have to do is all I just have to worry about is accommodations and transport, and food,
yeah,
because the tuition part, everything from registration, examination fee, just the whole bulk has been taken over by the state.
Mm.
Now, obviously that is at least from my stand, from my point of view, the way I'm seeing that is you are going, the number of students enrolling for these institutions, of course, admission requirements will still remain the same. It's not going to be, because it's free, then all the gates are open, just come in.
Yeah.
Admission requirements are still, you'll first have to qualify.
True.
Yeah. Now, with that, aren't we most likely to see the increase in accommodation places in a lot of urban areas?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would be the direct supply demand economic,
yeah, exactly,
impact that you see.
The demand is low in terms of accommodations.
Yeah.
And
the demand is high.
The supply that's low.
Yeah.
So what happens when the demand is high? What else goes up? The prices.
Yeah.
And then you see that just very high, we're going to be receiving calls here next year for people saying, congratulations, the education is, tuition fees are subsidized.
Yeah.
But I'm still paying, the rent of if you are going for the whole house, especially here, depending on the location, you're most likely going to go with 10K and up.
Yeah. Or, what I've seen, Helmut, is that there's an interesting
development. People are so building back rooms after this.
No, it's not just the back rooms. There's a development I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So across, UNAM and across NUST, and, I don't know about IUM as well, but I haven't seen that with IUM because there's a lot of houses.
Yeah.
But you are right. So I've seen that there are these specific just dormitories that have been built.
Mm-hmm.
So across UNAM, there's that extension of academia.
Yeah.
Not the side of Pioneers Park, the one right across, the old entrance of UNAM.
Yeah.
The one that comes from Western Bypass,
yeah,
that entrance. There's a whole bunch of, they're not developments because they're done, but they're literally buildings. And they are literally geared towards student accommodation.
Yeah.
And we're talking about some of them, $2,000 per month. And it's fully furnished. You've got a bed, you've got stuff. Most of them are double rooms, meaning it's two beds.
It's two beds, yeah.
For two students. And the particular positioning that you're seeing there is that this is to spur on a facilitating economy, an economy that was there.
Yeah.
I've seen this before. I know you've seen it before as well. That economy was there. people that could, you know, build out, like you said, back rooms and outside rooms and literally then lure in those students who need accommodation. Good and well. Here's the discussion, Helmut. We would still be lagging, particularly in transport.
Yeah.
Because now you need a place like City of Windhoek or like a Tumep, which has a NIMT, or who else is there? Or, but anyway, if you take a look at these particular installations, all of them are meant sort of like to say, listen, you're going to have now this young people coming from all across the country to just state-owned facilities that will be subsidized. Like you said, they still need to qualify, meaning they will still have to apply.
Yeah.
So there's still that lottery of applying and then being rejected.
Yeah.
Here comes the next particular dilemma, Helmut. And this particular dilemma is the dilemma of, okay, so what are we actually looking at? Is it an economy that will spike because now money has been freed up? But remember, this was a cost of affordability for parents.
Yeah.
Because some of those programs cost literally like 39,000 a year.
Yeah.
Or if you're in the specialty programs like the engineerings and the medical sciences and the medical, like at the two universities, the two state-owned universities.
Yeah, well, you know, Dolto, donate cadavers.
But we're looking at a cost per semester, probably the highest of like 40,000 a semester. So if you remove that, that cost.
If you remove that button and.
Yeah. So how many people would you then have trying to apply to those discussions? Because here, the first thing that popped in my mind is, will there be a condition on quota? Will there be an imposition of a quota? So what is a quota system? Mm-hmm. A quota system is you're saying, okay, since it's subsidized, the first 30 people, we can only accept the first 30 to be subsidized. And if there's more demand to apply and we see there are other students that didn't fall into that, they will have to start, these guys will have to pay from this mark up, you know, for extra. Then those guys have to pay.
Yeah, you know, that brings up also something interesting, like, okay, like you said, I'm not sure if we're having that discussion on and off, if we had that discussion off, I'm sorry to snitch. I remember you saying that in the beginning when, you know, like in the early days of NASFAF, beneficiaries were really having a field day. And, you know, until, you know, there were a lot of these students that were misusing this, you know, their status of being a beneficiary of you know, state-funded institution. And they are now, until obviously NASFAF had to come up with all these measures that, you know, all the students are complaining about today.
Yeah.
And also one thing I just came up, you know, more like something that came out, you know, that came to my head this morning. And like, okay, I know every parents, you know, all the parents are happy about the you know, the state taking over or more like subsidizing tertiary. But, you know, students are not very happy because, well, refund gone.
I mean, it's, look, Ahmed, here's the particular thing. Remember those?
Well, now we can't chill within our Nikes. We can't afford that now because, well.
Remember all those loopholes that I explained to you yesterday while we were listening to the Q&As, no?
Yeah.
Those loopholes were loopholes I saw as a part-time student. Loopholes that I saw as this was now pre-2010 was my first qualification that I started studying, that I heard about from when NASFAF was just a department, still in the ministry. Remember, it was a department. Was taken away, made an SOE, now it's being reabsorbed in back as a department back into the ministry.
It's not working. Let's try this again.
So that's obviously where you saw this couple of, 15-year, 16-year period of potentially some of the sort of like, the institution itself had been making its own news rounds. Specifically, there was a gap. There was like a three-year gap where they didn't report finances to the Auditor General.
It's a lot of questions.
Yeah. And then there was obviously also the debt that they had inherited. And I can understand that particular discussion because it was things that were just dumped on them for them to follow up. And those were guys that took large loans when that SOE was still a department in a ministry. Now, please, you and I understand the realm of responsibility. But in many cases, specifically those that were making political noises around the institution itself, the institution was trying to improve on a public perception regarding contractual responsibilities. If you're a student and you signed on that NSFAF line that says, I will pay back, you cannot come back a year later and say, no, I don't want to pay back because Dwight didn't pay back or Helmut didn't pay back. You can't do that. You agreed when you signed that paper. You said yes. And that's obviously of some of the particular downsides because they were themselves as an institution technically fighting an uphill battle against the whole of the disadvantaged Namibia that benefited from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using that term. They were there to the disposal, at the disposal of the Namibians that didn't have access to, you know,
underprivileged background.
Yeah, and the underprivileged background metric means your parents didn't have enough money to literally pay out of their pocket for your higher education.
Yeah.
And we have to factor in every year higher education was going up. Like, for example, at my alma mater, higher education back then in 2013 was going up by like 5% a year.
Well, it's a service they're offering and the inflation impacts it too.
Yeah. And they are being hit by price increases by service providers to them.
Yeah.
So even if it's like rotaterm printing paper for your printer, there's a 5% increase that you will see next year or 10%. And they also had to mitigate that particular risk because they have to make money, not just for themselves, but also for the government. If people did not know this, SOEs are money-making mechanisms in Namibia for the government.
They may be terrible at reporting the money, but...
they have to make the money. No, but what they've got...
except political parties, I mean... No, but
the thing about the SOEs, Helmut, is literally... firstly, they are literally some of they are the service dispenser and service provider to the public on the ground, them and the local authorities. And the SOEs and the local authorities are literally the money, the revenue collecting agencies, the direct revenue collecting agencies of the state on the ground. Now, people would say, people only think that NAMRA is the only revenue collector. No, NAMRA is there to collect taxes and tariffs and levies on the borders. NAMRA is not there to collect from Rehoboth Town Council or from Otjiwarongo Municipality. That's not NAMRA's job.
Or the $4 that you are paying to get you, for 10 bucks, or 5 or 10 bucks that you are paying to get your paracetamol for headache.
That's not NAMRA's job. That's not NAMRA's job. And that's what a lot of people also must understand NAMRA's,
role.
Because they hear specifically the announcements coming from NAMRA is that NAMRA is not, they are so efficient and they look very efficient. I mean, those every year they come up with an announcement. We broke a record. I was like, there was a record before this.
I mean, I've seen their suits. They look very serious.
but
those guys are kicking me out this time.
You'll never be able to get what you want anymore.
I'm never ordering anything outside the country.
So, I mean, when people look at NAMRA's particular role, NAMRA has its role. NAMRA knows what it's got to do.
Yeah.
It's got its mandate. What other people don't realize about local authorities is local authorities are the first installation of revenue collection for the state. So they collect money, pay it over to urban and rural development or whoever, and then urban and rural development tells them, okay, for the next year, this is going to be your budget from... if you have expansion of services and likes of things.
Yeah.
Taking the step forward from that, if you had to look at something like NSFAF's particular role, NSFAF's role was then to say, we dispense financing into the economy to help with skills development and with specialization. Specialization. On the provision that we can trust you, Dwight, to pay back after you've completed your program.
Yeah.
Now Dwight goes, finishes everything, sees there is no job for the qualification job Dwight completed, and now Dwight goes and joins a Fees Must Fall protest in 2015. Make it make sense, Helmut. Because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard of NSFAF showing up with a Toyota Bucky with that flatbed and starting to load up your sofa and your fridge and your TV
Because you didn't?
Because I have not paid yet. I have not heard such instances. They have not gone to such an extreme to what the private sector does in the realm of the Credit Agreements Act and in the realm of hire purchase agreements from the private sector. The private sector literally goes and repossesses your property.
Well, it's in the contract.
Yeah.
If you had the time to read it.
NASFAF has not done that. NASFAF, they're even being cute about things. And I'm using the word cute even. We'll come back with the word cute and I'll define it after the break.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always prepare.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Dwight is going to have to explain the cute part. And I'm just here to explain, not really explain, point out a few, one, let's go with a few, because I'm always having a few. And that is some of the cascading unintended consequences of the, free tertiary education. But, I'll continue on that. Oh, on that point after Dwight finishes, explaining his cute point.
A cute statement.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in the realm specifically of what we've seen, because obviously, Helmut, just to draw your attention back, you remember back in 2023 when President Geingob also made a particular statement in the public realm of saying, you know what, NASFAF was supposed to be a granting agency and not a loan dispensing agency?
Yeah.
So, you could view it in the same line. But here's the thing. NASFAF was an act. They became an act. The moment an entity gets an act, you become
an independent
agency that has to act on behalf of the interests of the country and the government in terms of the service provision notion. That is obviously with the exception of our butt end of all jokes. The National Art Fund. I don't want them to hear. But anyway, so when you look at the cuteness that NASFAF was going about, they were placing ads, Helmut. They were spending money to recuperate their money. They were going on discussions. I mean, at one stage back in 2023, some of the colleagues here at Eagle FM also interviewed these guys in terms of the furore that kicked up about what they had to do. Because they were going about this still in a civil, well-mannered way in terms of trying to recuperate what the students had signed, their guardians or their parents or they themselves, the students had signed on a dotted line saying, yes, I agree to pay back.
Then paying back comes in.
Yeah. So those students listening out there, you guys are lucky. Do you know how lucky you are? You are lucky. that the president has done, worked her magic in certain ways for that specific SOE to be reabsorbed back into this behemoth of a ministry now. Because now it's Ministry of All Education, Ministry of Sport, Ministry of Art, Ministry of Innovation. The word innovation has come through. So they probably would need a Directorate of Innovation and Arts and Culture. I mentioned arts twice, just so you guys know. However, if we look at now at that particular development, it sounds now good, obviously. Yes, because it's now such a big ministry. It's now the biggest ministry. It's now got such a massive scope and development. The downside of this, Helmut, kicks off in terms of we now have to look out for the telltale signs after yesterday's announcement. In the next, we're in April, that's month four. In the next 8 months until December, we now have to look for telltale signs coming from the minister, Steenkamp herself, in terms of what they will put in as a roadmap. What's the practicality for this to kick off? Because you and I can see, in terms of a cost-saving mechanism, President Nandi Ndaitwa announced this as just state-owned facilities. Mm. So technically, the government is going to ensure financing stays within the state realm of things. And I'll mention who they are, NUST and UNAM, and then the VTCs.
Yeah, and if you look at it to some degree, the state have already been doing this. Which is why I pointed out the students not being very happy with this development, because that takes the
refund. We've got two interns here with us that were not happy.
Yeah, that takes the refund out of my pocket. One thing that you obviously see here is, to some degree, the subsidization low key began with NASFAF, obviously carrying the cost of some students.
Yeah.
Only now it's going to be all students.
Yes.
Now, this one question though, maybe I missed it when I was listening, because when I was listening to this whole State of the Nation address, because if you look at how NASFAF operate as of today, or more like
that, means I can go back for an honors and a master's. Jing, jing.
Yeah, now
you as well, Helmut. You can also go.
Let's just go dance after the show. Actually, I already
I still have my student number.
I already did that last night. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
With my clothes on before you start taking pictures. But
I've got to tell you a joke after your analysis. Okay.
The way NASFAF has been operating is that if you fail the following year, you have to pay for yourself. Are we going to see the exact same thing, or you can just repeat over and over and over?
Yeah.
And
that's the roadmap we've got to look for.
Yeah.
The practicality, what Minister Steenkamp is going to implement, meaning what she's going to present, that makes sense to us. Because here's the thing that not one of those MPs got up, and one of them is even a lecturer. He sits there in front. He doesn't answer. I won't mention names.
Those guys were asking questions.
No, they all, the first one got up and started making statements without asking a question until the speaker had to ask him, what is your question? I mean,
my question is to Rambo.
But here's the thing, Helmut. The question that should have emanated from everyone, if they were thinking, and there are so-called youth, MPs also in that parliament, none of them got up and asked a question about how are you going to do the universal, the free higher education discussion? How are you going to implement this? Because here's the thing that Africans have been accused of, which is actually the best piece of advice I've heard in my life. Africans should stop writing about a vision. Stop writing about a dreamland, a fantasy land, a la-la land.
Mm.
That's why I was taught, for example, like in my marketing studies, you've got to be strategic and you've got to employ tactics that build up to the strategy. So you have a mission and a vision statement as a business, that tells you where you want to be, what you want to do. The second is you need to translate those two very vague fantasy la-la land
idea.
You've got to translate it into how do I get there on the ground? What are the steps I've got to take? What are the things I've got to build to? What money do I have to spend? Now, it's all good and well. President is the president. It's now for the ministers to come up with that plan. For the ministers, the prime ministers, and all those guys. Because here's the thing, Helmut. if we're going to see the same level of confusion like around the AS levels, the confusion that kicked off, because the parents thought the child is there for 12 years. The child didn't tell them, no, I can leave school in grade 11. And the parent was like, huh? What? Says who?
Are you planning on dropping out?
Under whose house are you doing this? You go back to school just for the parent to go find out that the kid said yes on a form without informing the parent that he or she wants to exit school at grade 11, because they hate high school, they hate going to school. Yes, I'm using the word hate, which is a very strong word, but go ask any teenager, they'll tell you they hate high school. They hate school.
Who liked high school? I know I didn't.
I only liked high school because I played sport.
Oh yeah,
for free.
Look, that's the part. Look, the part that anyone that had been through life school enjoyed, through high school enjoyed, was the part where they were chilling
or
with
playing
their buddies,
sport, or they were playing sport,
running around and all kinds of dumb things.
Yeah.
But sitting in the class and reading,
we're all forced to do that. Or having to deal with homework or with tests and exams.
No,
no. No one liked it.
Not even the teacher. Don't lie. And okay, sorry. But anyway.
You're the only one that has been a teacher between the two of us.
Yeah, I know. Talking from experience. We all like to tell students, you know what? Okay, now that I'm not in there, I'm cooking you guys. You know. well, you know what? When I was your age in school, I didn't cause any trouble. I didn't make any noise. Bro is lying through his teeth.
He was the naughtiest.
Oh, the naughtiest.
He was probably the main delinquent on school.
Lies. Yeah, like, okay, now, if you look at the, you know, the NASFA funding statistics according to their website.
Yeah.
From 2010 to 2023, there's statistics that you can find on their website. You know, the total number of students funded all the way from undergraduate vocational education, postgraduate and scholarships all adds up to 172,599.
Is that an aggregate number, meaning everyone that they funded, or is it for 1 year?
This from 2010 to 2023.
100,000 Namibians.
I'm looking at that number and going, really?
They've only funded 100,000 Namibians.
We need
to me, it felt like a million people that they should have funded.
That's what I thought. Okay, because you have awarded students since 2010 to 2023. Undergraduate, you have 122,335. Vocational education, 45,635. Postgraduate, 4,243. Scholarships, only 386. And total.
So together that 46,000 plus the 122, that, because it's two different sectors. It's literally
You have
vocational and
you have your academia guys.
Yeah. So that makes it at least 167,000 plus that 4,000 postgraduate, because that's obviously another level itself. So that makes it about 180,000 people.
And throw in 386.
Scholarship.
386. Man, the requirements must be tense on this one.
It's probably because of the requirements. Okay, there were a whole bunch to Japan that I remember, like back in 2018, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese were only saying, yeah, just for certain particular mathematical and stuff. But how much? There's actually a thing that pops up.
There's a whole table that's, you'll find there.
There's actually a thing that pops up now in my mind that now that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I just earlier today, I walked past a guy that I know. It's a foreigner, yes. But they're usually three or two, and they work for a specific bank here in Namibia. Anyone that works in these banks would know which foreigners I'm talking about, because they're not African. These guys are bankers. They're not an accountant. They're not a economist. They're bankers.
As in investment bankers?
No.
Just bankers.
The word banker. I don't know if you heard of this particular discipline that you've got to study. Actuarial sciences, something of that note. So it's about, so what these guys have to do is these guys are looking at, it's almost technically also looking like at the best banking strategies, you know, for the particular banking clients that they've got. Which is a unique dimension, because why haven't we trained our own bankers as yet? I know there's a high education institute here somewhere. I still don't know if they still exist. It's known as the Institute of Banking. You know of them?
Yeah. I know someone that went there.
And
now they are doing a whole different discipline. I didn't even ask.
But it'll be fascinating if you ask them one day, you know, what did they see? What were they taught? And what avenues could they access? Because Namibia is high on skill development and training. But before that, we've got an ad break.
Are you ready for a fresh new flavor? Then enjoy the latest addition to the Vintook beer family. Vintook lemon flavored non-alcoholic beer. It's got the same taste that you love, but now with added lemon flavor to guarantee 100% refreshment in every sip. Now that's 100% real. Head to your nearest store and enjoy the new Vintook lemon flavored non-alcoholic beer for yourself today. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you are listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. So Namibia, skills development.
Yeah, so we're high on the skills development thing, Helmut. And some particular services, I've never understood why we can't train them in Namibia. Why can't we train, for example, in the realm of computing? And even an AI development. Why do we have to follow on after someone else? Because Namibia has produced, we produced a physicist that worked at NASA. Not even South Africa came close to that. Helmut, not even South Africa. We produced a physicist from Otjiwarongo to work at NASA. The guy that died during COVID.
Did they go to school here or?
He went to Stellenbosch.
Of course.
He went to Stellenbosch. Now, I'm going to ask you, Helmut, in tears, in my denim blue eyes that I do not own. There are certain things that we really should be grasping at, that we really should take hold of, that skill set, and develop an industry around it. Now, just like yesterday, the opposition MPs stand up and they ask the president a question, and the president tells them, if you look at creativity, the art sector, the sports sector, and what was the other one? The other sector? It was another sector. We've spoken about them intensely. But I think it includes the tourism in one, and there's one, another one that she made reference to. But she said the arts, the sports, and the creativity sectors are neglected because they literally open up avenues for economic development for the youth. And the president is spot on, Helmut.
It's a shame you brought that up.
She's spot on.
Because parts of her speech, at least, it's a whole paragraph where she talks about, the amount of $50 million, towards hosting of the 2025 National Arts Creative Industry Awards and, has been set aside. Then she points to something I was, I didn't know I was waiting for until she pointed it out that the Arts Act Fund 2005 will be renewed.
So it's another dormant act.
Like, wait, what?
Almost.
Okay, the one with section 19,
That's the National Arts Fund.
That's the National Arts Fund.
Yeah.
The Arts Fund Act of... Okay, hang on a second. The National Arts Fund is for which year? Because now you have a Arts Fund Act. Fund Act of 2005. That's because that's one, you know, the one that she talked about, renewing. Now I'm trying to wrap my mind around. I'm like, okay, are these two different legislations or is this one? Oh.
Is it another dormant act?
No. National Arts Fund Act.
So it is the same act.
It is the same act. Okay, so from the look of things, unless I'm missing something and I'm speaking under correction here, because what the president says here, according to the speech, unless there's a typo, is the Arts Fund Act of 2005. Now, so
it is the National Arts Fund.
It looks like it's the National Arts Fund Act of 2005.
Oh no, it's the one that you and I, we made fun of, regarding Section 19 because we...
Because you can also find it. You can also find it in you can find that discussion on the UNESCO website.
Yeah, because you and I, we highlighted specifically that it's now 20 years that this act has been in existence, and the reasons why it has to be amended is specifically to be relevant to the changing landscape of economic transformation in Namibia, because this act now has to start playing a critical role in economic development in the arts scene and specifically the cultural scene of Namibia. Because how much it's pretty interesting. I have to watch a pop artist from the United States who earns millions. My nieces, my nephews, they follow these people. No, yes, dear listeners, I don't have children. Don't worry. They follow these people. But where's our own economic particular development for such particular socialites, celebrities, and, artists to also be lifted up in such a particular realm where they can literally benefit economically, financially from this prestige that is given to their sector? Zero. Okay, some of them have not done justice to themselves. I don't feel sorry for you, because if you come up with some severely substandard
material,
you're still using a nice word.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna say scrap paper, but okay.
I know, right? You know, I was born inside the car and I died outside. That's why they call me carbon dioxide. But that's the best rap song I've ever heard.
Don't tell me that's a Namibian. Please tell me it's a South African.
It's a meme I found on social media.
Oh, okay, it's a meme.
And then it was captioned, and they say support local. Some guy in the comment section is going, and when you ask them why they
don't
do that.
Don't tell me it's Xavier.
Of course it's going to be Happy and David. Then they'd be like, okay, you know what? Just focus on the message. What message?
The message counts.
Now, for those of you that missed it, last time we talked about it, and you attended that UNESCO National Arts Council event.
I attended the day one session, the one that we're talking about festivals. The other two were obviously streamed, but it's a yes. Uh-huh. And they were just going through the same things in terms of like the stakeholder engagement that started off that whole process where all these stakeholders were brought in. And then the promoters of events misunderstood what the National Arts Council has to do. They were like, no, you as the council should not promote. And the council members were saying, but it stands in the act, we have to promote the arts and culture scene of Namibia. You can't come and tell us not to promote. They've got to represent Namibia. And so the council guys, I just asked those promoters directly, so are you going to promote the whole country? No, I'm not. English people, English, understand its words.
Yeah, well, speak English. Now, for those of you that missed that discussion, the section 19 of the National Arts Fund says the administrative work pertaining to the function of the council or the committee of the council shall be performed by staff members in the ministry made available for the purpose by the permanent secretary.
Yeah.
And then, subsection 2 of that section goes on to say that the chairperson of the council or any other member of the council designated and authorized in writing by the council shall represent the council and execute any document on behalf of the council. So, was this a financial issue? Because the whole designation, like, okay, you know what, we're running this project, you have to come and do it.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I had the pleasure, okay, because the whole industry is on its rudimentary stage, and also being involved, being involved in the, in the industry, I've had the pleasure of attending a lot of these events. They'd be like, this is the one of its kind that we're hosting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. Because, last year we had, was that last year, 2023? They had the first, library and archive festival, something, we had it at the National Library.
Oh, no, you mentioned that in 2023. You spoke of it as 2023.
Yeah, 2023.
Yeah.
It was held there and, Namibian writers were there selling their books or selling their, selling basically what you'd call children bedtime storybooks that are just based on Namibian folktale. This is not something that you see every day and you are just there wondering, hang on a second. We have people with this talent in the country, but the exposure, like you just pointed out, using the Western celebrity, is that it's not there. But here's the thing: for a lot of us, we could basically listen to the president and go like, okay, why do you have to put this much emphasis on arts and entertainment? And I mean, it's just entertainment until you realize that. The US takes entertainment like on a whole another level of the word serious.
Yeah.
Because they are, if you know one thing the US is, the US is paranoid about is national security.
Yep.
So their Department of Defense, DOD. Basically that's their national security. But those guys are heavily involved with the entertainment industry in terms of hardware, in terms of expertise. If every time Hollywood is putting out a movie on military, military or action movies, where do you think they get their hardware?
Oh, no, Hamoud. Start again with that statement. And let me help you with that statement.
Please.
So, if any of you have ever watched Saving Private Ryan, The Thin Red Line, who's the other one? Band of Brothers. There was Apocalypto Now, or no, not Apocalypto, Apocalypse Now, starring Marlon Brando. Then there was Platoon, starring Willem Dafoe, and what was that guy's name? The guy that star from the 90s and 80s that played in that movie. But anyway, all these military movies from an American, about the American Army and the American Navy, all of those things. There's a propaganda budget in the American Defense, Department of Defense. If Hollywood wants to make a war movie, those guys are willing to give the hardware, Helmut.
Yep.
They'll give you hardware. They'll give you the tank or the thing for you.
Apache helicopters. Here you
go. To play with. You even get the pilot or the operator. To play with, to make the moves for you.
Yeah, all the stunts and everything.
Yes. Everyone knows why Michael Bay likes making war movies. Besides the Bad Boys, the Bad Boys movies. Michael Bay likes making war movies. And what's the most war movie he's made? That robotic thing that everyone is now tired of? Transformers? That's Michael Bay's specialty. Cause Michael Bay was like, give me this, give me that, give me that, give me. Because when the Department of Defense hears, when the Pentagon hears there's a war movie to be made, and somewhere they need the American Army sort of like a presence in there, they're like, sure, no problem. We'll supply you with some of the stuff.
And believe it or not, that Department of Defense have an entertainment budget.
They have
that
the army. Now imagine. Now I'm not giving ideas, but just imagine, Minister Kapofi. Just imagine.
And he's not scammed this time. But go on.
Yeah, no, but it was not his bank account.
Okay, thank God.
Just imagine you go promote a literal, you know, entertainment budget, not a budget to take people to a hotel and buy them a nice buffet lunch. No. Mm-hmm. We're talking about an entertainment budget to help with the image projection, for example. Now, I'm not giving anyone else a movie now to start making weird Namibian-based war movies there somewhere in the bush. You can. There's a lot of material.
Uh-huh.
But still, hint, hint, wink, wink, mm-hmm. just so that you know.
Just remember me in the cast.
Yeah, just remember. No, project management.
That's a cast.
I don't want to be the actors. Project management. But anyway, so getting back to that discussion now.
Yeah.
You mentioned something, you know, important in terms of where there is a dedicated impetus coming even from the state participating in a, there's this private, public-private partnership realm, even in the American scenario.
Yeah.
This has been key.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Welcome back. 30 minutes past the hour of 5 or 30 minutes to the hour of 6. Depending on which direction you want to go. It's just that, well, in the middle here, so you were saying.
Yeah, so even then, Helmut, there is impetus in that scenario. Now, obviously, once again, this is now also where I put in the bookmarker to say, we now have to look at, once again, to Minister Steenkamp, now who now has to come up with another step-by-step discussion. Well, at least you and I, Helmut, we've known for, is it now 6 months? About the arts and culture discussion. So for 6 months, we now know about the arts and culture discussion. The unfortunate thing now also for that same ministry is now Independence Stadium needs to be spruced up. Not Sam Nyoma, because now I know I've been told last year by the same minister, by the former minister of sport, Agnes Chongarero, at a press conference, that Sam Nyoma Stadium is City of Windhoek's baby.
Yeah.
Independence Stadium was the Ministry of Sport's baby. Now, I've got to ask a critical question here. Now, what piece of infrastructure does the NFA own? Are you telling me they only own their offices?
Yeah. From the look of things.
Offices that were also built for them.
Well?
They didn't build it. That is such a humdinger moment.
It's very important to...
They get more money.
Man,
participating in soccer.
Look, man, for a while, I considered participating in politics, but I think, from the early days of African countries' independence, politicians were looked at as more like divine beings or something close to that, because a lot of citizens didn't really ask a lot of questions. As long as a promise was made, you know, they were like, okay, you know what, that saved the president. But now you're looking at, because of, democracy, a lot of people also literacy, the level of literacy also increasing, and also factor in things like, economic inequality and stuff. Obviously, desperation builds and people starts to ask questions. And one of those questions that are being asked, especially these days in the political sphere, are very tough questions. Like, you will create employment, but how?
How will you create it?
Yeah, and entertainment also. Entertainment is one thing that is it's not something that's it's not something that's taken serious by a lot of countries on the African continent. Just a few, Nigeria is one good example, and Uganda with their $85 US dollars movie.
Huh?
That was the budget of who killed Captain Alex.
$85
$85
$1,600 Namibian dollars.
Yeah. And it gained.
And you know it. You are in Namibia. You know. And I've seen that meme. In Namibia as well.
Well, it had like a 7.8 star rating on, 89% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Were people making fun? Were people making fun of it?
But I think
at least they saw something. That's the thing. There was something to see. There's a product.
There is a product. Look, the thing is, this one thing I like about the entertainment industry, we all know that, obviously, these guys, if they really wanted to make a legitimate movie, a high quality one. That's legit. So what happened to be an action, what they wanted obviously to be an action movie, their dedication, and they knew that they cannot put their hands on on the hardware that they wanted. So they decided to go with you. You know what? Let's do this.
Yeah.
And
we'll use someone's nephew, like 15-year-old nephew, to draw the graphics.
That's what it looks like. I swear. Yeah. And look, as soon as that thing went on YouTube, it went super viral. I mean, people were laughing because of the captain that was saying, "Drop the bomb, man." And he's even complaining.
Why did you not drop it? Oh man, we are Africans, you know. Yeah, it's about time we step into this.
I know, right?
Yeah.
The movie of Who Killed Captain Alex is a movie that got a lot of people, laughing to the point where, it went viral basically.
Yeah.
And, some established institutions, of major movie rating, like Rotten Tomatoes, picked it up and they were like, well.
At least they made something.
Well, they made something.
Yeah. At least they made it.
Yeah. So that basically goes to show, to show that, you can make something if you have the dedication. If you look at movies like Titanic, for example, I think, was it 5 or $50 million that was spent on building the ship?
That's a lot of money for a prop.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a prop.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, this is just a prop. Where Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, can pretend to drown, and a lot of people cried and was there looking at them.
And remember, there's the water tank where they come up floating after the boat sank.
Yeah.
The scene where Leonardo's character freezes to death.
Mm-hmm.
That particular discussion is also one in terms of, remember, that's a water tank with a screen behind it.
Yep.
That's all it is. It's a big pool. With a screen behind it.
Now, if you look at it, the whole thing is a giant construction project.
Yeah. So they had a bunch of engineers on the ground.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of construction crews
on the ground.
Technicians, a bunch of carpenters.
No, they had a few security guards at the gate.
Yeah. You know, catering. You know.
Oh, catering.
People need sandwiches and coffee every day.
Yep, you show up. And now, you have to put in mind that after flooding this whole thing, at the end of the movie or at the end of filming, you don't just leave it there, you have to dismantle it.
No, Helmut, here's the thing about a movie is a company. Did you not know that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Hollywood, yeah, remember, you pointed out.
Remember that I mentioned that? Yeah. Now, if you ever looked at the credits at the end of every Hollywood movie,
mm-hmm.
there's a company registration number. Every movie.
No, at the end of the movie,
movie in the United States is a company, is a registered company. Even though it's funded by a company.
That means BIPA is going to be busy.
Yeah, BIPA will make its money. NAMRA will make its money. But the discussion out here has been, no one has looked at those economies and asked the question, why can't we do the same? Because the discussions I've heard myself, and this is from bumping into, there was this movie being made here at Windhoek High. It was a German production company. They were shooting here at Windhoek High in 2021. Or in 2022. 2022, sorry. They were right up here. And I accidentally saw these trucks, Helmut, driving down Robert Mugabe because I was coming from a state house engagement. President Geingob at the time was giving another particular update about something. And I was driving, and from there, it was in the morning, I was driving from down Robert Mugabe, had to come and still give the content here back at the studio, I think to Justicia. And now I had given a lift to two other journalists from Nampa. And then we see these trucks and I tell them, but these are movie production trucks, because they've got special loading bays. You will immediately see it, Helmut. Like the truck itself looks weird, because it's like seven trucks of the same truck standing behind each other like this. So then you know, but these are specialist trucks. This is specialist cargo management or freight management, because they are moving something, a specialist thing. Drive around this church here opposite the parliament, drive around the circle, stop behind one of the trucks. We get out, we walk up to the museum, meaning the fort, and because we see this truck's also standing there. And then we talk to one guy just walking there, a Namibian, because we didn't approach any of the Germans. The Germans were looking, all the Europeans, because it was a European production. All of them were looking like, who are these people? So we just decided to walk up to someone that looks like a Namibian. And one of them was a Namibian, and they said, yeah, talk to that guy. Talk to a guy. And he was like one of the local, you can call it like almost like a joint venture representatives. Because supposedly, according to the, what's the place's name? According to the Namibia Film Commission, is that international productions have to partner up with local production companies. Somehow.
If they want to operate here.
If they want to come and shoot some scenes.
So it's a requirement that can bet, movies like Mad Max had to.
Yeah. So it's like a JV, and they hope that experience and expertise rubs off on these local production companies.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And we speak to this guy. He sits us down under a tree, me and the other two journalists. I was just there for the sake of just, because I know sometimes you can't record what's happening on the scene, because it's an intellectual property and you didn't ask for permission to record.
Yeah.
So I had just have a basic conversation with the guy, and the guy's, giving us some bits and explaining certain particular points, and he highlights some particular things that at that stage, the Namibian tax authorities do not understand that you've got to give tax rebates for film production companies, international ones, because they bring so many people. Literally, some production companies can have like 1,000 people that they have to bring into your country. Or it's like 100 people that have got to bring in here. And those people have to stay. Let's, for example, say it was like Lord of the Rings, those guys, that they were shooting continuously for 2 years in New Zealand. They were shooting for continue. Now, remember, they were for 2 years in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But they were also for like 6 months in other parts of Europe. And there was another country that they also were in like North America or something. And so all in all, it was almost like 3 years of production, 3.5 years of production that they were in. Now, imagine that level of investment taking place for three movies. Remember, those movies came out like this, pump, 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 right after each other. For three movies, Helmut, what level of investment did you make into that country, specifically employing people for 3 years, buying from local content for 3 years, paying salaries locally there for 3 years, and then still being able to then ask, okay, you need to give us now certain tax discounts, because look at how many people, even if it was for 3 years, we employed so many people.
Yeah.
And a cameraman, Helmut, doesn't get employed for $3,000 Namibian dollars. A cameraman there gets employed for $3,000 US dollars. Yes, a cameraman gets paid 60 grand. Just to hold a camera.
There's a one part of the, you know, one part of the entertainment industry that a lot of people, well, also don't seem to grasp the economic, you know, the economic capabilities behind. And that is, you know, the props used in these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year in around March, the prop from the Titanic movie, you know, the most controversial, the most debated wooden panel that, you know, that they were, you know, Kate Winslet was, you know, was lying on, and they couldn't fit, you know, Rose and, you know, Jack and Rose could not fit on that wooden panel.
Oh, where they were debating. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
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 That sold on auction last year for $700,000.
It comes from the Titanic, bro. Who would not want to buy it? Okay, you and I understand the importance.
Yeah, you bring that to, you know, take that to my father. It's like, how much? $700,000. Okay, have a good day. But let's take a quick break and we'll continue on the other side. The Home Run with Helm 10 Dwight on Eagle FM.
We don't just use any yeast to brew the perfect Heineken. We use our unique A yeast. Why? It gives Heineken a unique balanced taste for that refreshing first. Ah, not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. The line is 083-288-401. And we have now 14 minutes before the hour of, now it's 14 minutes before the hour of 6. And we're here until that time of 6. So, education is one of those things that was pointed out, and well, everyone now, the main discussion going on, one of, I think, the biggest discussion that's coming out of the State of the Nation address is that of the free education, obviously. Well, a lot of people is going to be making plans to enroll to high institutions next year. And the only problem I have with that is now I cannot, I didn't go to school because, there was no one to pay for me as an excuse when I'm telling my kids stories as to why I didn't go to school. So, gentlemen.
Please don't use that story, Hamoud. Please don't tell your kids that story.
With the presence of the internet and this State of the Nation address.
Yeah.
And obviously the practical subsequent result that complements this speech that's going to come, take for example into the I'm hoping into the indefinite future of the Republic of Namibia.
Mm.
It's going to be very difficult, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners, for you and I to sit and tell our kids that, you know what, the reason why I didn't go to school is because there was no one to pay for me. They would just go online and get this speech and be like, mom, the year that you graduated, high school was 2005, right? According to this speech that I got off the internet, the year after that, yeah, 2026, tertiary was free. Care to explain?
Ah, people will be grilled.
That's when every African parent, a parent pulls out that, get out of an argument free card. Are you arguing with an elder?
Who what's the other question they sometimes ask you? Who do you think you are? Who are you talking
to? I catered you for 9 months. Oh, come on. This is nothing to do with that. This is just me saying that. And don't say you are lying. You are going to wake up in a coma.
You're going to see the start of the new year.
Uh-huh.
Very close.
So, quality education provision in the public sector and the requirements, admission requirements. The president didn't say anything against the admission requirements. So come next year, we don't want to have a discussion of someone showing up at a high institution, with a 2 points and a U in English, or basically 0 point with a U in English, and saying, well, the president said the school, tertiary is now free.
Mm.
Yes, it's free if you qualify. You still have to qualify.
Mm.
Unless that point is made clear. But as far as I, as far as my eyes are telling me, that point is nowhere near. It's not mentioned in the speech. So before you start giving high institutions a headache, you still have to qualify.
The notion is also from this, Helmut. We're obviously leaving out the other sector that we've also touched on. Sports development, for example. Or the sports sector. Now, in that scenario, there's nothing that Ministry of Sport have to do. I still believe this is the responsibility of the sports administrators, who some of them I think should go for, what do they call that? Refresher courses on how to make a sport professional. Helmut, do you know that you get professional football in India?
Please elaborate.
India has a professional soccer league. Yes, India has 1 billion people in that country.
Yeah.
But that whole, almost that entire 1 billion people play cricket. They love cricket.
Oh yeah, they love cricket.
That's why cricket is the second largest sport, just because of India, behind football.
Throw in Pakistan in there.
Throw in Bangladesh is there. Yeah. Throw in Sri Lanka. These are all countries with above 50 million people in population size. You add South Africa's 60 million, you add England's 60 million, you add the West Indies, and then the countries like the West Indies, Ireland with its 15 million, Australia and New Zealand are all secondary. Those are reasonable population sizes. That first cluster of 10 countries I mentioned to you, all of them, make that at least 1.7 billion people that have a market for cricket. And football is England's number one sport, but England has a professional cricket league. What's the other country's name? There's another country that I mentioned. South Africa. It's number one. Its two biggest sports are football and rugby. But they have a market for cricket. Now, and the weird thing is, South Africa has to help develop cricket in Africa. Just like South Africa has to develop cricket, has to develop rugby in Africa. So what happens is, World Rugby and Cricket and World Cricket and the ICC, the International Cricket Board, they realize that a country like South Africa sits isolated in this continent. So they've given SARU, the South African Rugby Union, and they've given, the South African Cricket Board's name? Anyway, they've given the South African Authority, the Cricket Authority, through these two sports codes, they were given the mandate to help develop the sport in Africa. So they know that Namibia plays rugby and cricket. They know that Zimbabwe plays rugby and cricket. And Zimbabwe has gone to the Cricket World Cup. Namibia has gone to a T20 World Cup, not a full-on Cricket World Cup, the 50-over version. Well, I think we've gone. Yeah, it's the same one that was held in South Africa way back. Not the one in the 90s, the one where we almost beat England. We almost beat England. That was the 2011 one. Yeah. Now,
If you look at the, if you look at that illustration, Helmut, the South African Cricket Authority, the South African Rugby Authority, they took the helm when in 1994, World Rugby said, we need to go professional. The New Zealanders, the Australians will say, yeah, sure. The English was like, yeah, sure. The French will say, yeah, sure. Because in France, many people think that football is the number one sport for France.
Yes, yeah, I thought.
It's actually rugby.
Not Tour de France?
Not even the cycling. It's actually rugby. So when people were like, when some of the countries were like, the clubs in Wales were like, ah, you know what, we don't like this rugby thing. We should stay amateur. We don't like, even the Scottish were like, yeesh, ah, you know, and the Irish were like, hey man, we don't care. It sounds like money. It's only in England where the affairs are weird of rugby because you have rugby league in the north of England and you have rugby union, which is what we play in the south of England. However, World Rugby said, no, guys, we've got to take it to the next level. These players are putting their bodies on the line. They need to be compensated for these efforts. So you need to start paying them. And that's obviously when the big contracts started happening. I mean, you heard of like Springboks in South Africa that get paid $100,000. And the guy wasn't even selected to play for his country at the weekend. But it's a retaining contract. It's a retainer contract. They were paid. It wasn't a scandal, but it was controversy in South Africa because some of the South African national team players were no longer eligible to be picked because there's now up and coming talent and that talent had to be incorporated into the national team. So guys like David Barry, if anyone remembers that guy, guys like David Barry that was the Springbok captain, guys like, what was the other guy's name that was also on a contract for a long time? Was it Os Durant? No, it wasn't Os. It was the other guy, the guy from Durban. What was his name? What was that guy's name? The guy that ate burgers.
Yeah, that's rugby. Sorry, can't help you there.
The guy wasn't supposed to eat burgers. He had a weight problem.
Oh.
He, even if he ran it off, his one coach said, the issue is he's probably the fastest prop. Now, a prop in rugby is the, you know, the bulky, shortish guys that you see running around. They wear the numbers 1 and the number 3. He was supposed to, I remember because he was one of my favorite rugby players. He's one of the fastest props, like in a 10 meter radius.
Yeah.
He's very fast, Helmut, for his size. But his coach once, one of his coaches said, yeah, he's such a good player if he just stops visiting the local steakhouse, the local steakhouse in Durban, and he stops eating burgers. Because then we could manage his speed and his performance and his energy levels properly. But anyway, getting back from that discussion, the notion here specifically has one been about the South African authorities, sports authorities, decided to galvanize an industry. And all they needed to do was talk to the other private sector guys. Now, I'm sorry, Helmut. In Namibia, I'm seeing real change coming through in the Namibian cricket space. I've not seen it in Namibian football space. There was a highly publicized court contests taking place. It did not help the athletes on the ground. It actually made things worse for us. Then we've got the rugby scene. And I still can't believe for the life of me why the scene is still at the level of where it was when I stopped playing rugby in 2006 or in 2007. Or when my elder brother stopped playing rugby in the 90s, because I was like, why are we still on this level of things? Mm-hmm. Why isn't it progressing?
So there's no growth, there's no progress.
Yeah, I mean, why must you lose your job if you are accidentally so talented, so full of talent, and Namibia qualifies for Rugby World Cup? You now have
to choose between your going job, to represent your country, and feeding your family.
Yeah. And imagine you're still married. Imagine you've got deductions on your bank account for the house, for the car, for the what and the what and the what, the dog's medical aid and stuff like that. Mm. Now your employer says, no, I can't give you leave. It's either you choose to take unpaid leave or you resign or, you know.
Bye bye.
Or you stay and you work and you don't go and represent us. what's up with this particular balance? This imbalance, actually.
Is that a problem of policy, lack of investment, lack of interest, or?
No. It's none of what you just mentioned.
Okay.
Lack of the administrators not being serious.
On the sports side.
Yeah. The administrators don't know the gold mine they're sitting with, which can be the catalyst for the youth in Namibia. Remember, Helmut, you can only play a professional sport up to the most you can stretch it is 40. So I'm talking about as a professional athlete, from 18 to 40. That's a 22-year space. Most soccer players, most rugby players can only push it to 35.
That's it.
For rugby players, the reason is your kneecaps and your, you know, when other injuries start becoming, they start reoccurring.
And also age factor in aging. Let's take a quick commercial break.
Are you ready for a fresh new flavor? Then enjoy the latest addition to the Vintook beer family. Vintook lemon-flavored non-alcoholic beer. It's got the same taste that you love, but now with added lemon flavor to guarantee 100% refreshment in every sip. Now that's 100% real. Head to your nearest store and enjoy the new Vintook lemon-flavored non-alcoholic beer for yourself today. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Six o'clock on the dot. Home run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're basically going through the president's yesterday's State of the Nation address. Now, a lot of important things were pointed out. Of course, we all each individually have our own questions with regards to a lot of things that you find in the speech. But this is where it's going to be an interesting discussion now, because this is everyone is looking at the theory and hoping that the practicality does not come with a lot of side effects. Well, that's one thing the president pointed out, that everything has advantages and disadvantages. And obviously, pensioners were told to wait, and sports, entertainment, the education. So you can see, everything that was also mentioned from, sports, entertainment, and education, all, the main beneficiaries in all this, the main direct beneficiaries are the youth.
Yeah.
Of course, the parents are the indirect beneficiaries, because now they don't have to worry about tuition fees as long as their children are going to public high institutions. Well, this administration seemed to have that in place. But obviously the things that we are going to face, because I'm saying obviously because we're dealing with human nature, is take for example, financial reporting is something that we must really keep a tight leash on. If we want to carry out all kinds of cultural or sporting activities all across the country in order to boost the youth and alleviate the youth unemployment issue we're dealing with, every cent that will be dispensed towards a certain sporting or cultural activity must be accounted for. If we are still with the questionable accounting, financial reporting that we have witnessed, from ministries to SOEs to political parties, basically all across the public sector, then we're going to have some serious problems, because I know we like to make it look like, high level politicians are the only one that are greedy, but greed is just the world. It's inherent. It's human nature, unfortunately. So unless a tight leash is kept on how this money is spent, mismanagement is one heck of a discussion that we're going to be having for a very long time.
For the next 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, because we have had these discussions before, both from ministries, from ministries who are dealing with fish rot right now, and from sports. You have a lot of we have seen both football and netball players. I think complaining that they have not been compensated for the for this time period, and but everyone is asking, okay, when are you guys given a budget? And the point you just made. Now, everyone that's interested in sport, everyone that's interested in, take for example, everything creative, must now, from time to time be forced to choose between, represent their country in a certain sporting activity, like we witnessed with the rugby team, was that last year when they went to play World Cup. Then you realize that, it's very easy to make fun of them.
Mm.
Until you realize the dedication they had to put in, because they have an 8-to-5 job.
Yep.
Yeah. So, for me, I gave those guys a lot of respect, and I still respect them to this day, because, if they went from, 8-to-5, if you can do 8-to-5, and we all have crappy days at work sometimes, if you can do 8-to-5 and have time to put, to carry out an activity that takes your country on a national level, World Cup level, representation in terms of sports, of all sports, rugby, that's a whole level of dedication.
No, it is, Helmut. And that's the reason why I can immediately sort of like absolve that ministry from investing even 1 cent in any sport code. Because the ministry has to tell every sport code, my guy, since the government has to stay out of the administrative affairs of a sport code, you guys have to come up with your business plans.
You basically are the government.
And your business and your models for making you sustainable. Helmut, the ministry only has to look after school sports. That's it. That's the reason why the dimension of sport comes back under the Ministry of Education, because the Ministry of Education has got that Namibian National School Sports Union, the NSSU. So you streamline those processes so that you know that sports events happening on school level translates to future talents for all the sport codes. But the sport codes have the administrative bodies, because the ministry is told and the government is told by FIFA, by World Rugby, by the ICC, you don't interfere in our affairs. The affairs of these agencies are literally the representatives of these agencies are literally the administrators that sit here. The Namibians that are paid, I won't say how much money they get paid. I won't say it, but they get paid more than most CEOs in this country. The one gets paid in US dollar, the other one, yeah. And it's tax-free salaries. You can't tax them. Namra can't tax them. Let me say it again on live on air. Namra can't tax these salaries. There's nothing Namra can do.
Man, I want to be that powerful. Now, if you look at it, I think sports investment is something that we should really look at on the African continent. Because if you look at it, take processing plants, industrialization in a way that we are looking at it in terms of everything mechanical and electronic. Take, for example, if Botswana, South Africa, Namibia, and Zimbabwe are all producing, all producing diamonds, all producing uraniums, or all producing, earth-moving machines, who is going to buy whose product is one of those questions that will be there.
But we won't be selling it to each other.
Well, that's the point. But the beauty of sport is that, if you have, if you have a soccer, a national football team in all the countries, you have events where they are playing against each other, and that's, you can't beat that.
Yeah. You can't beat that.
You can't beat that.
The downside is also, Helmut, that we spoke about sports tourism earlier month.
Yeah.
That is exactly the thing that has to take place. That is exactly the thing. That as to why I made the little statement a little bit earlier in the sentence under the sports realm, that the Ministry of Education should not spend a dime on the governing agencies of sports in
the
Namibia. They must just look after the school sports realm.
Yeah.
Fund that and support that. But if
a rugby team goes on a flight to a competition, they need to fund that out of their pockets. They get enough money for that. And they need to sort themselves out so that they can have sustainable or sustainable financial capacity to participate wherever they want to participate in. On that note, on my side, it brings us to the end. We've got the Wet Curly crew and someone with a life jacket. But anyway.
Life jacket, seriously. Yeah. Life from cold, that's for sure. 9 past the hour of 6. This is where we park the boat. That's a team home run until...
We park boats, someone?
I'm from Kavango, leave me alone. Until Monday.
Is that not a canoe?
It's a boat. Leave
it's
me alone.
It's a canoe, bruh. It's not a boat.
It's a boat.
A boat and a canoe is not the same thing. Leister, now you stroll. That's why you've got a weird curly today. That's why.
Yeah, I have so many questions.
Are you jealous?
Mukungu lelekwa tuko maikuto wa mina apili kwa mavuchaziva. Mvele kisema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso. Zakare liferile. Mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app. Mwikutwe kulibusie mbasa antoye nguyetuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa F20 kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyalizwi la mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasfera sesifa F ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, smane kakarunga, Africans, ni zengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, va 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalite.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.